Well, I don't preach on giving very much, and it's not because I'm afraid of it, although there is, I don't know if you call it an urban myth, I don't know what you'd call it, that preaching on giving is what's usually recalled, or usually called a U-Haul sermon, which if you're not familiar with that, it's a sermon you preach when your U-Haul is already packed, because you know you're not going to survive, which I've often, yeah, it's obviously funny, but I just think, how have we got to such a stage where even talking about giving, which the Bible talks about quite a lot, where we're sort of afraid of it? And the lectionary doesn't take us there very often. And as I was thinking about what to talk about on this Sunday, not just from the lectionary, but also in light of the celebration of Jean and Gordon's 60th anniversary, this one came to me because Paul's words about giving in 2 Corinthians are really quite interesting and quite helpful, I think, as well. When we think of giving, we tend to think of either people who give everything they have and then live in poverty, or perhaps, depending on how we think about things, we think of people who give $2 a year and think that that's all that they need to do, or who knows what, somewhere in that range. And when we think about giving, it's hard to know what's best for us to do. It's hard for us to know whether we should or not. Well, as Christian people, I think it's fair to say that we are called to give. And as people who follow God, whether we're Christians or not, we're called to give. Paul quotes from Exodus when he finishes up this little teaching on giving, where he says that the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little, as a reminder that God will care for those that are under his charge. That's where manna was being gathered, all the way back in the time of wandering. And one of the difficulties with giving is a very legitimate concern about what we need. And one of the things that it's at least occasionally comes up or occasionally crosses our mind is the sense that, well, if we give, then we won't have, which is only makes sense. You know, you can't give something away and keep it at the same time when you're talking about physical things. If you give it, it's gone. And we sometimes think, on the basis of perhaps a misunderstanding of how some people over the centuries have been called to a life of poverty, that that call is to all of us. And it most certainly is not. Even in the traditions that have calls to live a life of poverty, they're quite clear about the fact that hardly anybody's actually called to do that, and most of us who are in poverty are doing it because we've made bad choices when we were students and are still paying off student loans or something. Not to make light of poverty as it really exists. But that's not what we're called to here. Because one of the best statements on giving, I think, is where Paul says about giving overall. In verse 11 and then verse 12, which is the key one for this, he says, "Now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means." So he's saying, don't just want to do something. And if you've begun something, you should actually finish it, which I think is good advice in all kinds of things. And then he says, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." And this is one of those things that you sort of wonder why Paul felt he had to point it out. But I think I know why. It's a reminder to us that God calls us to work within the resources that he has blessed us with. Paul is telling the people in the church at Corinth that what they should do is they should give out of what they have, not out of what they wish they had or what they wanted to do. One of the most extraordinary things to see is how generous people are at a young age. Generally speaking, when you ask children or you expose children to a need of some sort, their willingness to give far outstrips their resources. Just about every parent or grandparent who has talked to children about a need somewhere has had this child talk about how what they should do is they should give them $1 million or give somebody a new house or whatever it is. And, well, they can't. It's a rare child that has $1 million. I've never run across a child who owns an extra house, or for that matter owns a house at all. But that wellspring of generosity is a wonderful thing, and it's encouraging to us. But what Paul tells us is that that's not what we're expected to do. Paul says that what we are expected to do is look carefully at what we have and make the best use of those resources where they're needed. And what Paul is talking about is not that we then, in a sense, elevate someone beyond ourselves. That's not the goal. One of the words that shows up in here frequently is equality. And I suspect, although it's not clear in this text, that Paul is not talking about some kind of balance sheet equality, where everyone is identical. First of all, that's extremely difficult to do. And second of all, it just doesn't make any sense. Equality is more than just adding up numbers and saying that you are now in exactly the same situation because you, say, make the same amount of money or have the same amount in a bank account. Having X number of dollars means one thing in Saskatchewan. It means something altogether different in some parts of British Columbia, thinking particularly of Vancouver. It means something dramatically different in most of sub-Saharan Africa. Equality is more than just an arithmetic problem. Equality is about us looking at ourselves and saying that what we have, what God has blessed us with, is something that we would like to bless others with. And that's what Paul's talking about when he says the willingness is what makes a gift acceptable. If you are somebody who grits your teeth every time you give to the church or give to World Vision or give to the Heart and Stroke Foundation, whatever it might be, if you're just sitting there thinking, well, this is dumb, but I guess I have to do it. The money spends just as well, by the way. But I'm not so sure that we're actually doing what Paul is talking about here. In other places, Paul tells us that the Lord loves a cheerful giver. God doesn't say that the Lord loves a cheerful giver of lots and lots. It says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Paul here is talking about those who give willingly. Willingness is the key. If we are under the impression that if we don't give, God will somehow not bless us, I think we've missed something. Because God blessed us before we even knew that God cared about us. God numbered the hairs on our head before we were even born. God reached out to us before we cared about him and said, "Come to me." We don't earn anything from God when we give willingly. But what we do is we express our own sense of what has been given to us, the joy of the salvation that we enjoy. And that when we do so willingly, that's what makes what we give the best. Paul talks about acceptable. But what he's talking about isn't just that it will be accepted and it somehow won't be if we do it out of a mean or a divisive spirit. No, this is when the blessing upon us happens. And it's not that it comes as a response. It's not so much a cause and effect in the sense that if we give God, well, he'll bless you no matter what. I think all of us have experienced the delight that comes from giving. Whether it's giving a gift to someone on a special occasion, or whether it's giving a gift to someone just because, that sense of delight that they have warms our heart and fills our souls. And Paul is making a similar point here. Giving out of a heart of willingness is what takes giving and changes it from a discipline, because sometimes that's where it begins, and turns it into something that helps us be transformed into the people that we were meant to be. One of the hallmarks of people who have a vibrant relationship with God through Jesus, who are empowered by the Holy Spirit, is generosity. People in this relationship give, not because they have a feeling that by giving they will earn, but they give out of gratitude, in the same way that small children will come and just give you a hug because they're happy, not because they want anything. This is what This is what Paul is talking about. Giving out of this deep understanding of what we've been given, so that others who have the same relationship with God, and even those who don't, might be equal to us in the things of life. Because if we believe that God places us where we should be, rather than just at random, we are in a position where we can have what it is that we need. And frequently we have more than we need. And by providing to others with a willing heart, there will be an equality of resource that allows all of us to live the lives that we've been called to live, to be transformed into the people that we are called to be. So how much should I give? It's a question that's easy to ask, not always so easy to answer. But if we think of our giving, whether it's to the church or to a charity or to someone in need, if we think of it from the perspective of how does my giving help achieve equality of resource, and how am I doing this willingly, I think that'll give us some pretty good guidance about how much we should give. Knowing that a gracious God always cares for his people. The lesson of Exodus for the gathering of the manna was that those in that relationship with God had what they needed. Whether they gathered much or little, they had what they needed. There was an equality of resource there that Paul talks about here that can still be done. Sometimes we're in plenty. Sometimes we need. And no matter which side of this we're on, the question of how much should I give is less important than how and why and how do I feel about it. So may we be willing givers with an eye towards creating equality that all might be able to do what they are called to do, even as we are. Amen.